Welcome you and all to another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast, where we talk about, say it with me, Latino everything. Thank you very much for being here. Make sure you go and subscribe to the channel. All the cameras. You already know what the business is. We reached 1,000 plus subscribers thanks to you. We have a long way to go. If you enjoying the community of Latinos, if you are enjoying the content, if you want more presence of Latino content here in YouTube, make sure you go and subscribe and tell somebody to tell somebody. I would love it if you tell that tia that it's really good with carrying the word and the chisme and let her know we're here. Thank you very much. Today, we have an amazing episode. Respects to the gentleman because he came all the way from Houston, Texas, down North 45 this way. We have a Mexican-American R&B singer, songwriter, music producer, musician, entertainer from Houston, Texas. He is determined to give a smooth sound to a very classic sound that you already know about. He has a degree in audio engineering, all the way, as I mentioned, from Houston, Texas. Roberto Vieira Jr., a.k.a. Rob B. in the house. Hola.
Hola, hola.
How you doing today, sir?
Good. Doing great. Great to be here. I'm happy to be here.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going for great today. Yeah. Thank you for taking the time. I know it's a long drive, four hours. It shows a lot of commitment for you to on what you're doing. So I commend you for that, and I appreciate very much the time. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Hope you enjoy. Shout out to Them Mexicans, TDM.
Them Mexicans. Shout out to David with Them Mexicans.
I got the same shirt.
You get the same shirt, yeah.
I had to, as soon as he put it out on social media, yeah. I was like, DM, like, hey, what's up, bro? Yeah. Where I send you my money? By the way, I support my people. I give them money. I send them my money because I want to support their brand. I said, where do I send you this? I'll send me here.
Cool.
I got the same one.
I had to get the white one as well. I have the white one and then this one. I got to show support.
It was just something about that particular design. I really enjoyed it. I'm like, let me get it too.
Yeah.
Are you ready? We're going to go ahead and start with a segment that I like to call Preguntas al Chile. If you have not taken the time to subscribe so you can see
Preguntas
the
al Chile.
Carlos put together that we need to redo again so we can give it a different look one of these days. Preguntas al Chile, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
¿Estás listo? Do you like this? Do you like that? Tacos o tortas?
Oh, man. Can I say both?
Sure.
Yeah, both.
No pressure. We prefer one or the other. However, I know it's challenging, but if you can't turn down.
Prefer.
Una torta and two tacos on the side.
Oh, yes. if I'm really hungry, tortas. If I'm still really hungry, even tacos sometimes. So it just depends, but I love both.
Got to go back in line and order some
I know,
more.
Right?
Corn tortilla or flour tortilla?
Corn.
Awesome. Gorditas o sopes?
Gorditas.
Gorditas. Nice. Mexican coca o jarritos?
Jarritos.
What flavor jarrito?
Oh, I like all of them, but I guess one of my favorite would be the strawberry.
Yeah.
Or the orange kind.
Except for the Mexican cola one.
Mexican coke.
You like that one?
I don't think I've tasted that one.
You don't want to.
I don't think I've tasted that
you're
one.
You're not missing out on anything. It's so good. Okay. Agua de horchata, Jamaica, or tamarindo. Which one would you prefer?
Horchata.
Horchata.
Yeah.
Okay. And salsa verde or salsa roja?
Salsa verde.
Salsa verde. Team salsa verde all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Menudo or pozole?
That's both good, but I'm gonna have to go with menudo. We just had that the other day.
You did?
Yes, we just did. So,
do you have a particular person that you get menudo from, or do you make it yourself?
No, we go to one of our favorite places to go to is Jalisco's.
That's the restaurant
in Houston. Yeah, a restaurant back in Houston, Texas called Jalisco's, and they serve menudo and yeah.
What's particular about their menudo that's really good? A lot of people are very picky about where they get their menudo from.
No, I agree. I mean, I've had other from other places menudo on and yeah we just didn't taste right, but no, it was pretty good. I mean, just the seasoning and the way they make it is pretty good.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, I ate the whole thing, so yeah. Yeah, so
and back a few times for some more.
Yeah, exactly.
But churros or flan?
My sugar level will go up on both of them, but I would say flan.
Flan?
Yeah.
Awesome. And Valentina, Tapatio, or Cholula, or Tabasco hot sauce? Which one would you prefer?
not really a big hot spicy guy, but I would say probably Cholula.
Cholula. Yeah. Cholula. And then Conchita breads, the pastries, you like the white ones, the pink ones, or the brown ones?
Pastries.
Some Conchitas, yeah, little pastry breads.
Yeah. I guess whichever one tastes good. Probably the pink ones.
Yeah, they're really good too. Okay, so this is way off topic. Nothing to do with this or that. A conspiracy theory that you heard one time somebody said and you were like, that has to be true. No way that's that conspiracy. What would that be?
Conspiracy theory. I would say, I probably heard a couple, but I would say when anybody talks about, and especially now in the season of Halloween, you know, as far as like real true horror stuff that's happened. I mean, you know, of course they say it's a true story, but then other people's like, oh, it could be a myth as well. So you never really know. And so it's kind of like, I've heard that and it's kind of, I'm not, you know, with spirits and everything.
So which one did you hear of? Some like maybe a ghost appearing, or maybe La Llorona, or maybe something like that. Anything that you...
Oh, yeah, yeah. La Llorona and Annabelle. Those are the ones that I...
Heck.
Yeah.
La Llorona's real. She don't need no passport. She's been sighted here in Texas. California, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't doubt people have seen her for real.
Yeah, no, and I've, you know, I'm pretty sure, like, and I've heard a lot about La Llorona as well, and that's another one that's kind of like myth, but also true at the same time. And you can see on social media, certain people saying they've seen it. And I'm like,
I've seen close relatives of mine tell me. So it's kind of hard for me to say that I don't believe them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to call my relatives liars, and I know they wouldn't be lying to me about it. So I know whatever it was, like, they had seen something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was like, dang, like, no way I can't, there's no way I cannot believe that she's real. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't understand what it is, but the fact that I know that it's real is a real
thing. Yeah, that's a possibility. It could be real, yes. Man,
it's more of a,
yeah.
It has to be real.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you hear the word Latino, Latina, Latinx, what first comes to mind to you immediately?
I would say Latin American people from Latin America, Central America, stuff like that. That's what I normally, as soon as somebody said Latino or stuff like that, I mean, I consider myself, well, I'm a Chicano, born right, in Mexican the States, American, yeah, Mexican American, but you know, I think I fall into that category as well, as far as Latino as well, and I mean, a lot of people see it a little differently. It's like, oh, you know, because I know Spaniards are from Europe, and you know, we have the Latinos from Latin America, but you know, the Spaniards are still kind of considered Latinos, I'm assuming,
they're still European. Spaniards would be Europeans.
Yes.
One of the other words that gets confused, that gets thrown around with Spaniards, would be Hispanic.
Yeah.
They speak Spanish.
Yeah.
But they're not in the Latin America.
Latin America.
That's why they would be like more Hispanic. But I think technically they're more Europeans. Hispanic because they speak Spanish. That's it. And then, because there were apparently some island or a place called Española or something like that. That's the reason why the word Hispanic came to be here in the Americas. I believe it.
Okay.
I might be lying to you, but double check and Google that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I'll be fact checking myself, but I believe that's correct. Okay. And I know you fall under the category, but do you care if anybody calls you Latino? Do you prefer to be more Mexican American or Chicano?
Mexican, I mean, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I know I'm more Chicano, Mexican blood, Mexican American, Mexican parents, or Mexican American parents, but born here in the States. So I mean, it doesn't really bother me. I know certain other Latinos or Mexicans, it may bother them, but I mean, regardless, when you say it's Latin food, or you already know, I love Latin food. I mean, I've tasted not just Mexican food, but other Latino food, like Puerto Rican dishes as well. And
what is your go to if you, besides Mexican, what would be your second option for food to go to?
We've tried. I forgot the name of it, but it's El Salvadoreño food, and I forgot the name of the restaurant, but it's Papusas, and we love Papusas.
Is it the alarm again? So what had happened was, before the gentleman got here, it was crazy. It's been a crazy day, first of all. We're not going to cut this out because it's real. There was a car on fire in the freaking basement, and I got stuck.
Wow.
So right now, we still are, I guess they're testing the alarms to make sure we're good to go. So even before they got here, they had to wait a little bit, wait for the firefighters to get cleared, the whole building. I went downstairs to the garage because that's where the fire was at. There was a car on fire. I got myself stuck down there. Luckily, a gentleman found me. He's like, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. I'm like, I don't want to be here, but I don't know how to get out. So he let me out, and I finally made it. So if y'all hear an alarm, don't worry about it. Just go with it, okay? Back to the question. So what we were talking about pupusas. So Salvadorian food.
Yeah.
So you like Salvadorian? Would that be your next to go to?
Yes. Mexican? Oh yes. We've tasted pupusas and even the El Salvadoreño tamales that they have. And I didn't even know they had tamales. I was like, when I tasted it, it tastes pretty good.
Are there the tamales, the big tamales too, that have a bunch of stuff in them?
Yeah.
Too?
Theirs is more. I forgot what kind of. Is
a banana leaf they put in.
Yes, that's what it is. That's what I was trying to. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. Banana leaf that they use. Yeah. So yeah, that's what was different, and you know, but it's good. It's good as well.
Latin American food, Peruvian food, Salvadorian food, Puerto Rican food. Man, they got some really good food. Like top cuisines, Peruvian food. If you never have Peruvian food, go try it out. You'll really love it.
Yeah, never.
Definitely. So yeah, we do definitely Latinos.
Yeah.
Have once.
Yeah, never tried it, but I know I would definitely like to try Peruvian food
for sure. And do you relate yourself more to the word Chicano because is that something you grew up at that time when you were growing up that you heard more, or what is the, I mean, I'm not saying you prefer to be, but you kind of sort of fall in line with that word more a little bit for yourself. Why is that?
Yeah, I guess because, you know, being Mexican American growing up in, you know, in the United States, you know, Houston, specifically, I mean, like the Mexicans or the Chicanos that I grew up with as well, we were considered Chicanos. I mean, you know, we grew up Mexican. I mean, we grew up American, but we have our household was Mexican and stuff like that. So we pretty much had the, I guess you could say, the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, being considered Chicano, I don't see a problem, you know, being Chicano, like when, you know, and they have Chicano festivals, I'm like, I can kind of fit in there a little bit, you know.
You're right. It's interesting you say that, right? Best of both worlds, but sometimes not the best of both worlds either, right?
Because
you have the beautiful culture of the U.S. that you get to embrace, and then you have the beautiful culture of the Mexican. But you also get those that the Mexicans sometimes don't want to embrace you so much because you're not technically Mexican.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the Americans, all you see is a Mexican.
Yes, so. Yes. That, I mean, I've definitely had that. And, you know, and being Chicano, Mexican-American, you know, like the Mexicans from Mexico, I understand they have their own views and their own ways of looking at things and doing things. And, you know, I've always kind of, I guess you could say, you know, felt a little left out.
Yeah.
Because it's all one, but Chicano, I speak more English, or, you know, I act more American and stuff like that than to be, you know, Mexicano. But I'm like, well, that's the way I was brought up. That's the way I was raised. Yeah. My household, my sisters all speak English. There's a couple of them that speak a little Spanish here and there, but, you know, we grew up more, you know, more American. My dad's from Nuevo Laredo.
Nice.
And my mom's from Chicago, Illinois, so born and raised. So, you know, I kind of got the best both worlds there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, shout out to my parents. I love your mom, dad. I love y'all.
That's awesome.
Hopefully they watch it.
They forget that a lot of people forget. Mucha gente se les olvida que como buen mexicano uno nace donde se le pega la regalada gana, meaning whether you were born here or not. We Mexicans are born wherever they freaking feel like.
Yep.
Whether it was here or somewhere else, if you got the blood, you're Mexican to the core.
Mm-hmm.
I know the old people are close-minded. Sometimes they want to accept it, pero un mexicano nace donde se le pega La Regalada Ghana. Mm-hmm. It means here in the States.
Yes. And I'm glad, didn't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry. But I'm, and what I like too is that, you know, it's good to see Mexicans or like Mexican Americans or Chicanos like everywhere. Like, you know, you have, you know, you, and that makes me feel proud when I see other Mexican Americans or just Mexicans doing things, you know, big things like, you know, doing stuff that they would think Mexicans or Latinos wouldn't do, yeah, or wouldn't, I guess you could say conquer or wouldn't, you know, be considered doing, because they, I know the outsiders kind of view us a little different.
Yep.
And I know that there's a lot of, we have a lot of culture, we have a lot of talent, a lot to give. And it's lots of times it gets looked over.
Yeah. And it's cool that even yourself take the bravery to do music, jump into, because it's not something common.
Yes.
A lot of us, our people are coming up, they'll be like either working at our job or whatever. More recently, a few years, people started getting their own jobs, their own companies, and they started working in that instead of just being in a factory working for the man. They started just expanding, and music was one thing, rap, acting. All of a sudden, we start taking embracing those roles because we can. Why not?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't be part of the things that we are able to do?
Yeah,
why?
Exactly.
Why are we going to be the ones that cut the grass all the time or work in construction? Nothing wrong with them, but I'm saying there's more.
Yeah, there's
you
more
can
than
still do. Then that you can still continue to further expand whatever it is that you want to do, and not limit yourself into those particular jobs that everybody stereotypes. Not everybody, but a lot of people stereotype that this is the things that you're able to do. Like, no, there's no box.
Yeah,
you can do whatever you feel like.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever you put your mind to, you can make it happen.
Yeah,
you know, and just because you're Latino or Hispanic or, you know, Mexican American, don't look at yourself and doubt yourself or you know, put yourself down and say, oh no, I can't, I'm Mexican, I can't do this. No, why not? I mean, if you got the talent or if that's what's in your heart, follow your heart. I mean, whether it doesn't matter if it's music or whatever, you know, if that's what you want to do, open up your own business, start your own clothing line or whatever, you know, do it, but do it with all your heart.
And not to mention, we tend to forget that if you're a lot of Latinos, a lot of Mexicans, Latinos too, they're from Mayan blood, from Aztec blood, and they made a magnificent, like if it wasn't for the Mayans, we wouldn't have zero, number zero, which is very important in mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for the Mayans and the Aztecs, we wouldn't have certain things that we have. And those are the ancestors and the blood that runs through our veins that we can tend to forget.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were capable of doing those things way back in the days.
Mm-hmm.
If we can remember that, imagine what are the things that we are able to do now.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like, oh, you're just a Mexican, this, you, this, and that. Yeah. No, we're come from some very, very impressive people in the history of humanity.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. All right. So let's get to the interview part. So do you know a little bit of your history of your parents? I know your mom's from Chicago and then your dad's from Nuevo Laredo. Do you know how they got? Well, your mom's been here all her life.
She grew up in. My mother was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. I don't know exactly what part of Chicago, but I know she was born and raised. All my tios, all her brothers, they're all born and raised in Chicago as well. My father was born in Nuevo Laredo and then was brought over, with my grandma and my tios and tias. He said they were brought by train from, Nuevo Laredo to, Chicago, because at the time my grandfather was working in Chicago, and my grandfather was a musician. He played in a cumbias band.
Oh, nice.
From what I known and what I was told as well. So,
and they're all from Tamaulipas, for Nuevo Laredo.
I think he is. I mean, my dad never really spoke too much about that, but I think he might be from there. I know he always said Nuevo Laredo.
Yeah,
but you know,
it's crazy to know that existed, right? Because I know a gentleman that he said he got to the States illegally. But they used to jump in the train and just let the train take them wherever. And they know they were going to get to the United States.
Yeah.
So they get in the train, wherever it just stops, there's where they get off. They're already in North End, and then just start making their way and like getting jobs and just establishing themselves in whatever community they landed.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy. The one all the way from Tamaulipas all the way to
Chicago.
That's a long way.
Yeah, that's definitely a long way. That's what I thought myself. And my dad, so he grew up in Chicago, of course, learned English in Chicago, and then got, my dad was in the army. He went into, well, he got drafted into the army and got his citizenship.
Oh, wow.
That's how he got a citizenship in the army. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's why I was, you know, that's, as one of my dad's accomplishments, I'm glad to say, speak on.
Absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate your dad's service. I'm a veteran myself. I say all the time, by the way, I ain't gonna stop saying it, but I appreciate it. Now it's not easy to be, and not to mention to be drafted. Like, at least I volunteered to go over there.
Yeah, he got drafted.
Hey, you the choice. Do you want to go? No, we're going, homie. Come on.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And your mom's family, do you know where they come from? What part of Mexico? How many generations?
Yeah, that I don't know. I know my I don't know where my, because honestly, I'm the youngest out of my brother and my sisters. I have like four older sisters and one older brother. Well, I had one older brother. I'm the baby. So by the time I was born, I'm pretty sure that my parents had plenty of practice. So, but as far as that question, so my grandma, on my mom's side, she was still alive, but she was already blind at the time. She was already old, you know, older, blind at the time. Yeah. And, she spoke more Spanish than she did English, but she could speak English, or, you know, she could, understand it, stuff like that. But, that, you know, me being young, I really didn't get the chance to really ask my mother, you know, hey, what part of Mexico was my grandma from, my, you know, so, but I don't really know. I mean, that'll be definitely something I can find out. I can ask my sisters, ask my sisters, or, you know, hopefully, speak with my mom, and maybe she'll be able to tell me.
Yeah. I'm just I'm curious about that part. Cause I know sometimes people have interesting stories about how they made it to the States, what brought them, the reason why, like that train thing, that's really crazy that they were able to take that chance, jump on the train, not even knowing, and landed in Chicago.
Yeah,
that's
crazy. And it was my dad and like three other uncles and my aunt, my tia. So, and they were all kids. And my grandma said, come on, let's go.
It's like that. Okay, so what is the earliest memory for you as far as getting involved with music? Of course, they mentioned that it's kind of a little bit in the blood because your grandfather used to be in a cumbia band. But as far as for you, what is the earliest memories of you getting into music or being kind of sort of like discovering music or what music was?
I would say back in when I was in, I guess you say middle school, I was always asked to be in R&B groups.
Really?
You know, and it was crazy. I'm like, the only Mexican boy has to be in R&B groups. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I didn't know. I mean, what I knew about R&B was, you know, what I heard on the radio and mainstream in Houston. So, but didn't really know that I can, you know, sing until I actually started getting into groups. And then that's when I was like, okay, well, maybe I could do this a little bit. And, you know, so I just started developing from there. My vocals just started developing.
So prior to that, you never sang ever? Never? How did they discover that you know how to sing?
Oh, what do you mean? Like my friends?
Like your friends. What was the first crew that invited you to join their R&B group? Do you remember them?
Yeah, I remember, I don't remember the name, but I remember, I know the name of my guys that I still keep in touch with them now. Uh-huh. One of my boy Brian, Brian Angel, shout out to Brian Angel, my boy Shimon Lee. They were the main two that really got me into singing and doing.
And how did they knew that you knew how to sing?
Well, because we were in choir. We were in choir in middle school, and being in choir, that's how they were in choir with me, and that's how they found, oh yeah, he can sing. So then we would stay after school and practice, rehearse as a group, and
really
just build that, you know, building, you know, our sound and just really developing our voices.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
What made you want to get into choir? Why did you want to? Was it just a no choice? You got to get in somewhere, or your friends kind of?
I would say, because I think in sixth grade, honestly, in sixth grade, I was in band at first. And then, but I was always, you know, friends with, you know, like some of my boy Brian Angel and my boy Shimon. I was always, you know, friends with them. They were like, man, you know, you should get in choir. We're in choir, man. It's cool. And, you know, they get your friends kind
of. Don't lie, there was a bunch of girls in choir.
Yeah, that too. That's what that is. Hey, man, they got girls over there in choir, man. And I was like, for real? I was like, okay. And then, You know, you know, the next semester, I changed to get into choir, and I was finally able to get into choir, and it was fun. I mean, we were able to, sing, go to different places, different events, and sing with the choir. And so that actually taught me, well, I learned how to sing from there, and it also taught me how to use my voice and harmonies, learn how to sing with other people.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
So it's not only just knowing how to sing, it's knowing how to sing with other people, too.
Yeah, yeah, knowing how to sing and harmonize and knowing harmonies.
Yeah.
And knowing your vocal range and stuff like that, so.
Did that group ever take off anywhere? Were y'all doing any kind of gigs by yourselves or anything like that?
We did. At one point, you know, we, I know we, it was, I can't remember the group, like it was so long
ago.
But I remember we did sing, we did sing at, it was another high school that we were singing at. I remember we were on stage performing, and it was I forgot some rep that was there from a certain label. I can't remember now. It's been so long. I know, I'm pretty sure my boys remember.
You tap into the closet of memories right now. Like.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, let me think. I mean, but yeah, there was a rep there. I can't remember, but we did outside of school, outside of choir, we did perform different places at schools and stuff like that. And I think we even performed at another high school. Was in Magnolia, Magnolia, Texas. We performed at that school as well, and was also in a play, because one of the guys that was in the group was not just a singer; he also wrote plays.
Oh,
and
wow.
So that was a play that, and in the play, we were part of one of the scenes was us singing. So he incorporated his R&B group into the play.
Nice.
So it was like, yeah, so he was very talented.
How did you feel when you first started getting to know how to sing? Because I'm pretty sure were you a natural singing, or once you got into choir after a little bit of time, you realized, oh, this is how you do it.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, I guess me learning, learning how to sing, from being in choir and then just singing my favorite songs on the radio. That's what made me really realize, like, oh wow, I can actually sing these songs and I can actually do something like that, because I didn't, I was just listening to the radio and hear favorite songs, and of course, you hear them, every hour on the hour, so it's kind of, you start learning the words,
yeah,
and I started learning the words, and I was singing along with them, like, wow, I can actually hit these ranges and sing, do this, do that, and I was like, wow, okay, and so that's what kind of made me say, okay, maybe I can do this, maybe I can, and then. Like I said, it also runs in the family.
Yeah.
Because on my mother's side, I do have I had uncles that played in a band.
Also.
Over there as well. So, yeah, there's music on both sides of my family.
Nice.
So, yeah, my uncles played, they played all different kind of music.
Regional, yeah. Mostly, or different?
I think it was like all different. I think I'm pretty sure they played cumbia, Spanish music, all different kinds. Rock music. I mean, I didn't know. I really didn't know, because I didn't grow up in Chicago. I was born in Houston. But my older sisters, they, when they were young, they would hear my tios playing and cousins playing and playing music in the background, or down, because my cousins and my family on that side didn't stay too far from where my mom and my sisters lived.
Were you born in Chicago, or were you born here in Houston?
I was born in Houston.
So what brought your parents or your mom and your dad to Houston?
I guess I'm pretty sure a few things, but I think my dad just wanted, a better life for, I would say, like, my sisters at the time, because I wasn't born yet when they moved down here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming he wanted a better life for my sister, so they moved down here,
yeah,
and started going to high school here or stuff like that, and they eventually made lives down here and got married and stuff like that. So I'm thinking just a better life. I would say, I don't know if at that time, Chicago was, getting bad or something.
It's,
I don't know.
It's a little crazy. It's been crazy for some time. I don't know, a lot of people were driven away from for the same reason that vandalism, theft, all kinds of stuff. It's like, hey, it's getting kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think that might have been one of the reasons my dad moved, and then like a few years later, I was born here in Houston. So I mean, I as a kid, I went back and forth.
Gotcha.
To Chicago. So.
I mean, besides the original group that y'all sang at Magnolia, mm-hmm. another mm-hmm. one, what other R&B groups were you part of? Do you remember any of them?
Yeah, there was a, well, the one that I do remember now, the one that I did sing with at in Magnolia, Texas was, was it, I think it was I think it was Passion.
Passion.
Yeah, we had had an R&B group named Passion.
Nice.
Yeah, we had an R&B group Passion. And then, after that, I think like in high school, I really didn't. I was just more in choir in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't. We had little groups there in choir as well. Oh, we had another one in high school was Image.
Image.
That was one.
Yeah.
That we in high school was Image. So that's one of the groups I had in high school. And then after I got out, after graduating high school, was really doing more, I guess you could say, singing solo, but also trying to look for another like R&B group. And one of the last ones I did have was Endure.
Endure.
Yeah, it was
what kind of stuff did y'all do together?
We didn't, I guess you could say, last that long, but we did actually sing. We were trying to, you know, I guess find our sound and sing together and stuff like that. This one was more, you could say, was more of a Hispanic group. It was gotcha. All the R&B, and that was pretty cool because at that time, that wasn't something that was heard of. And I was like, yo, man, I told the guys we can really do something, man.
Yeah.
You know, if we, you know, buckle down and focus and, you know, really, you know, take this serious. So, but, I guess it just didn't work or whatever. So, but, we did get a chance to sing, one of our songs for, the Barrio Boys. I don't know.
Oh yeah. I remember the Barrio Boys.
Yeah.
Bro, that's
yeah.
Cause minute
they,
ago.
Yeah, they came because they had, I think like a Selena Fest thing. And,
yeah,
Barrio
Boys.
I think it was a 10-year, 20-year that was in Houston. And it was at the Hilton downtown Houston. I remember, yeah. And I remember one of the guys that was in the group was like, you know, hey, you know, that Barrio Boys are right, you know, here at the Hilton. And I was like, for real? And was, you know, we were like, hey, well, can we come down? Can we? Because he knew he knew Barrio Boys manager.
Yeah.
And well, he knew the Barrio Boys too. So, and I was like, well, hey, man, can we come down there? Can we sing for him? And they were like, yeah. He was like, come on. So. We all met. I said, hey, we all called each other, hey, let's meet at the Hilton. And we met and we went, met in the lobby, met the Barrio Boys, and we sang for them. Remember, we did that.
You were singing a cappella at that time?
No, there was no music. Yeah,
no music
yeah,
whatsoever.
We just sang a cappella.
And the songs you were talking about, y'all songs, was something y'all composed together with no track yet? It's just a cappellas?
Yeah. Well, there was one song that we were, original song that we were, actually working on. So we did have a instrumentation to it, but it was a song that was written by a friend of mine that
nice.
That it was like, here, you guys can sing this song. So and I'm trying to think, was that the song that we sang to him, or if we, because I know we did a lot of we did a cover song, something I guess you could say from Jagged Edge.
So what did they think? But yes,
oh, they, well, I think to me, I thought they were impressed or whatever, stuff like that. And I remember they were just telling us, hey, keep doing it, you know, keep singing and stuff like that. And we were like, yeah, I mean, we were all excited. I was excited. I mean, it's like, you know, your Hispanic R&B group, man.
Is it like the biggest thing that happened to you so far, as far as your music, your early music career?
That's one of them.
Yeah.
That's one, yeah. That'll be one that I won't forget. I mean, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. So
that's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Okay. So after that, you keep traveling your music. You start focusing a little bit on the solo. When did you just decide, you know what, let me just do that by myself and then focus? I know about 5 years ago, you got a whole lot more serious with the music. But what exactly drove you to want to just focus more, buckle down, like you said earlier, and start working on your own material?
Well, I was like, wait, this is either I'm gonna do music, I'm gonna sing for the rest of my life, or I'm gonna work a 9-to-5, or you know, like work for somebody else, or work for the man, like they say. So I had to make a decision. I'm like, well, I mean, you know, what do I love to do? And I know every, you know, you always hear, you know, do what you love to do. And so I was like, well, I love to sing. I think I'm good at it. So I was like, okay, well, let me take this serious as a solo artist. Let me mm-hmm. take this serious. I mean, yes, I was definitely nervous, and because I was like, okay, I've never really sang too much as a solo artist. I was always in R&B groups,
right?
But now I'm like, so I just had to just find my way. Of course, having like musical friends that do music as well, and you know, they actually helped me and guided me too. You know, to be, hey, you need songs. I got you. You know, the right songs that we get in the studio and write together, making instrument, you know, the instrumentation, stuff like that, or meeting other producers or other songwriters through them. And that's what kind of just, you know, was like, okay, I think I can do this. And then just, you know, of course, me singing cover songs and stuff like that, and, you know, putting them on social media. And it was like, man, you know, seeing, you know, that the reaction or the views, I'm like, man, I think, you know, I can actually do this as a right. solo artist. And so I was like, you know, I just got to perfect, you know, just be serious about it and be consistent and perfect my craft.
Yeah.
So that's when I actually started going to a community college for audio engineering. Well, I took audio engineering, but also took private voice lessons mm-hmm. as well, because I still wanted to, you know, make sure I perfect my singing and just have other ways of knowing how to sing without having to strain or blow my voice out.
Oh yeah.
And then also learn the back end stuff too, because that was another thing that I was like, I need to learn the back end as far as learning how to record in the studio, record other people in the studio, knowing you know EQs and compression and stuff
which
like
ones
that.
Your plugins,
and, yeah, plugins, stuff like that, and, right. and learning that, because I told myself, I was like, if I can learn that too, that's another income I can bring in as well. Not yeah. you know, not that if I need to step back from the singing a little bit, I can fall back on the audio engineering
yeah.
and just engineering and still kind of, you know, make some money from that to be able to, you know, survive and just put that into my music and me as a solo artist.
So you went and got the whole degree. You graduated.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. Yeah.
And from that, did you see it also as like, I don't know if you like to record yourself or not, but going into a studio sometimes it's a little pricey depending on who you go or who's the engineer, who's whatever the studio might be.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find yourself that you didn't mind recording yourself, or did you just see it as an additional income, but still take those funds and go to another studio so they can record you?
Well, the way I do it, I just have somebody else record me, but I do like recording myself, because then I get to, you know, take my time. And if I mess up, that's what the studio is for anyway. You mess up, you do it till you get it right.
Yeah.
And then I get to, once I get, you know, one part done, I'm like, all right, that's when I start adding harmonies and stuff like that. And I start playing with my vocals. I'm like, okay, I could do this and do that. And it's like, wow. And then next thing I know, I'm like, man, I sound good. Like, so it's to me, it's just being creative with it.
Yeah.
So I do like doing it, but most of the time I right now I've just been really just, you know, having someone, hey, you know, sing this or sing that. I mean, I can follow direction too. If, you know, somebody's, hey, sing this or sing it this way, sing that way, I can follow direction, but I can also record myself and, you know, record myself Pro Tools, stuff like that as well. So
is that what you like to use?
Pro Tools predominantly, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and that's what I'm more savvy at as far as engineering Pro Tools. I'm learning Logic as well. I know there's some other ones like Cubase. I don't really know too much about that, but
right.
I mean, as long as the engineer knows, you know, what he's doing on Cubase to record me, make sure we have a good sound and capture the sound well, then I have no problem with it. Let's record and, you know, let's make music.
And did you, once you've done it and get it, whatever you wanted to record it or somebody recorded it, did you mix and master yourself, or did you got a person that you like to go to?
Well, normally I do have an engineer that I take my music to once. I mean, I don't mix and master it. Mm-hmm. The guy, my guy that records me, he does a rough mix,
yeah.
or you know, and then after that, we, you know, once we send a session, or I take the session to set up a session with my engineer and then take him to session, or I email it to him and he has a session. We leave like we leave the vocals dry and everything so he can remix and stuff like that, and then he does an amazing job.
You give him like
job.
A reference of what you needed to, which out the idea of it, and then let him do his magic on.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I want to give a shout out to my engineer Bruce Bang back in Houston, Texas. Man, he's actually mixed on all my music, really. So, and it sounds phenomenal too, man. So, that's why I trust him a lot with, because he sings as well, and he knows not just, you know, hip hop or rap or whatever,
but he also knows singing.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why, you know, lots of times with the harmonies, blending them, you got to blend them a certain way, and you got to know how to make them backgrounds and leave the leads and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't really have to say too much. He knows. And I was like, hey, let's try this, or let's try it. Like, all right, cool. And we tried, and if it works, cool. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And we, you know, just keep moving.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So what will be your process for you to create music? What is your creative process? Do you get the track? I know you do features, but do you like to get the track? Do you like to start from zero? Go with a producer that knows how to, maybe you have an idea, like maybe a harmony or something you want to build from there, and then create the beat? Or do you like to listen to some beats and go from there?
Mostly it's listen to the beat and then go from there. But sometimes it's a little different. Like, creativity hits me different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes I can be not listening to anything and, you know, just have melodies in my head and I start singing and I'm like, oh, I like that. And I'll hurry up and try to record it on my phone or on my voice recorder or whatever. And then other times, you know, I'll get beats from producers and then listen to it and be like, you know, and then start vibing with it. I normally start off with melodies. That's what I do for the songs. I start out with melodies first and then go back and put lyrics but it just depends, because sometimes I can start off with lyrics and then mm-hmm. put the melody right to it. I guess it just depends on my, you know, how I'm creative that day.
Yeah,
but most of the time I start off with melodies.
And do you, I know you're saying somebody else was writing previously before for you, or some people send you songs. Do you like that, or you like to write it yourself? Make sure that you do everything.
Thank you so much for being here today and checking out this amazing episode. Make sure you go and subscribe to the channel and leave a comment and a like. And now back to the episode.
I like both because, you know, like my songwriter that I go to, he has a lot of good ideas when it comes to writing. Mm. Sometimes, don't get me wrong, I get a writer's block, as they call it.
Of course.
And I'm like, I don't know what to write. I mean, you know, I try to think things and, you know, sometimes I have to step away from it and come back months later and then something hits me right there. Sometimes it doesn't. It just depends. And
right.
But with my songwriters, they normally hear it, they can, you know, write it more on the spot. So I don't write it as quick. It just depends on when creativity hits me. But I would like, and especially on this, my new project that I'm working on, I'm being a little bit more hands on writing.
Okay.
So
let's talk about that. You have a project out.
Yeah, with DTYLA.
And that stands for?
Don't Take Your Love Away.
Don't Take Your Love Away.
Yeah.
And that's an EP or a whole album?
That's an EP.
And when did the idea of you wanting to go ahead and do that for you, like create an EP for yourself? And how did that process go for you?
Yeah. creating an EP, I was like, I was thinking too, because I know nowadays nobody's really buying albums,
right,
or downloading albums. So that's why I was like, well, I don't want to, you know, record all these songs and not, you know, they only listen to maybe 3 to 5 of them. So I'm like, okay, well, let's just do a small, you know, and this is my first EP. So I'm like, let's start off small. Let's do, you know, a 6-song EP and just see how it goes from there and stuff like that. And
did you do any singles prior to that to build to that EP?
Well, we did. I had two of them, which was DTYLA and Right Now.
Right Now.
Yeah, my single Right Now. The reason why I named it DTYLA was because that was the first song that was recorded for the EP, and that was actually the first song I written by myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that whole song is you.
Yeah, that's all me. Nice. Don't Take Your Love Away. That's the first song I've written by myself. The other songs I co-wrote with my songwriter,
mm-hmm.
But that one was just me. And I already had the instrumental track to it. Track for DTYLA, the track was done by Tony Sway. Shout out to Tony Sway, my boy Tony Sway. He produced the track. That was the first song, and I was like, wow, you know that. I still love that song, and today that song's, you know, I'm like, if I can write this, then I can continue to keep writing good songs like that. And so that's what that song started the whole EP. So that's why
what was the inspiration behind that song and the lyrics for it?
I guess at that time, I'm thinking I might have been going through something. So I think that's what just helped me to write that song.
So you channel those feelings of things that you have going on to help you write the lyrics and help you give it emotion?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, yes. And lots of time, I know they say, when in music, it's good to always use life experience and stuff like that. So, yeah. And in that case, I was going through some stuff right at that time. So I used that experience and I just wrote that. It took me a couple of times because I wrote it a few times, a few different times. But this last time that I wrote it is what you hear now on the EP. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. And then, that to me, that's how it felt, and it fit perfect. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna stick with that. I'm not gonna, cause I had like 2-3 other verses, different verses, and they were good, but it just didn't fit right. And then this one, they fit right. And then it's also was what I was trying to say.
And how long was the entire process for you to complete the EP?
How long did it take you? I think it probably took me, I would say maybe like a month and a half, too long.
Really?
It didn't take like, yeah, once we recorded D2LA, I got with my guy and he was like, hey, let's stay consistent. Let's keep, recording. So, there was like the next song. And then after that, not in the same day, but it was like I come like the next weekend.
It was pretty fast paced.
Yeah,
you were on a mission.
It was like pretty much every weekend we were recording one or two songs. Oh, so we had it knocked out pretty quick, and then we got it. And then we got it mixed.
Tell me about the cover, because the cover, I don't know if I read it again correctly, but I believe it said Robert V at that time. Were you messing around with the name? Was you changing it around? Did you have made your name with going with Rob V instead? Was it easier?
I was messing around. I was like, should I go with Robert V? Or should I go with Rob V? I was like, I was just going back and forth with it. I was like, I like both, but Robert's kind of a little bit longer than Rob V. Rob V is a little bit shorter. And so I was like, well, I guess I'll just, on this EP it was Robert V, but I said, but my next projects I'll start with Rob V, stuff like that. And now, me building my brand and me building my name, more people know me as Rob V than Robert V. So I was like, okay, well, we'll just stick with that, Rob V. But I mean, I can always, later, like, yeah, it's Robert V, and because that's my first name, so I can always extend it.
So it's a play on your real name.
Yeah.
And was there any other names that you wanted to go? You wanted to go with something cool? Smooth Robert V? Anything else? Any other names made the runner-up?
I don't know. I was like, because, let's see, Robert V. And my middle name is Paul. So I was like, I don't know if I want to do Robert Paul. Look at myself as an artist, Robert Paul. I was like, Paul V. Or I was like, nah. Was,
how about a telenovela named Roberto Paul V? No.
I was like,
Roberto
or Roberto. I was like, Roberto. Like Roberto V. Like GQ. Roberto V.
Hey, that's got a ring too.
Yeah.
Hey, one of the songs to be alter ego, Roberto B.
Yeah.
Roberto P.
Yeah.
Roberto PB. That's pretty cool. Okay, so finally you get the EP done. You started working on the admin part, how to distribute it, where to go to. Did you figure all that yourself, or did you get somebody to help you out to do that part as far as where to go to, where to take your song, how to get it distributed, how to go ahead and get it in all platforms?
I did do my research, but I also had help with, people that I knew that helped me, like my songwriter. He helped me, once we get the EP recorded or completed, all the vocals, everything, take it to his engineer, is Bruce Bang.
Mm-hmm.
So, which now became my engineer. So I took it to him and Bruce Bang, he's mixed for, a lot of different people that are on the radio now.
Oh, wow.
So, hearing how he mixed my whole EP, I was like, oh yes, I was sold. I was like, yes. I mean, even the first song, but I was sold on the whole, how he put, mixed and mastered the whole EP. I was sold. I was like, yeah, he's my go-to engineer.
How big was an investment for that particular project?
I did spend some money, but I really think it was worth it. Because you know, again, this was done all independent. Mm-hmm. I wasn't with a label or anything like that. As you know, just independent Ravi Music. And at the time, I had a management at that time too that was helping me a little bit here and there. So, it was a good bit that we spent. But I mean, I think it was worth it.
Did he show you where to go to register your music, whether it be ASCAP, BMI, as far as getting your royalties?
I think I was already registered with ASCAP because, mm-hmm. You know, I've been doing it so long. I was registered with ASCAP. I registered myself years back. It's just didn't really have material yet to upload to ASCAP. Now I do. Now I have, you know, my whole EPs on ASCAP. But and then just going going to school for audio engineering as well. You also learn, you know, if you're not in those classes, you from people that you're working, that you are in class with, or you know, you, that's how you learn stuff. Like, hey, you know, make sure your songs are registered with ASCAP or BMI, you know, PRO, Performing Rights Organization, or make sure if you want to get your music online, you know, you can put it on TuneCore, CD Baby, DistroKid, stuff like that.
So you're already learning from them because they were doing it too. They had the same inspirations.
Yeah, and I seen other artists as well that had their stuff, and I'm like, oh, okay, so you know, I would, you know, go more towards that to try to get it on there right now. And then after I started hearing more about distribution, like as far as like labels or just like, you know, other companies having distribution to where they like you can go straight to, you know, like personally talk with them instead of going through like online, like TuneCore, stuff like that. You can actually go, you know, talk with them, and there's an office you can meet with them. And it was as far as distribution, so that's what I started looking in more.
Yeah. And what was the difference between indie, just yourself and no label whatsoever, and them going to a particular label that you can distribute? What was the difference, or what was the benefit to go with a particular label just for distribution? Was there any perks? Was there anything additional that will be able to help you to actually reach more people?
I did think about it, but my main thing was like, my company, Ravi Music, was already doing, all the stuff that the labels were doing anyway. What I was lacking was, like promotion, marketing, and distribution. Mm-hmm. So I was like, as far as getting in the studio, I had several access to different studios plus my studio. I had songwriters to help me write, or I, you know, write myself. I can get producers, or, you know, I produce a little bit myself. I play the keys as well, the piano as well. So that part wasn't the hard part. It was just like, okay, promoting and social media, getting people, you know, to get it to where, you know, you have somebody doing your social media every day, all day, stuff like that, promoting, marketing, you know, distribution, to where you can go with a distribution to where they're like, I guess you could say the middleman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they may be distributed through Empire or Sony, stuff like that, but they just have distribution. So I'm like, okay, well, that's what my brand needs, Ravi Music.
Okay, so explain to me this. So when I think distribution, see if you go to CD Baby or any other distributors, mm-hmm. and you go there, if you upload your music there, you select where it needs to go to, it gets distributed to it.
Yeah.
That's what I think of
distribution. Yeah.
But what did they do different? They were telling you different.
I look at it as they're more like the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
They still distribute to iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, stuff like that, all online as well. And then I think that some of them, what they do is you know, like, oh, we also shoot your videos. We also, you know, if we put your stuff online, we're also going to have it to where, you know, we have somebody working your social media. So it's kind of like what labels do too. It's kind of like that we'll work your social media to where, hey, your Instagram, you will constantly have content,
yeah,
stuff like that, to where every day you know, instead of you always having to be doing content as an artist and then having to record, they let you, you know, you focus more on that. So it is kind of like a label.
I heard some label or some distribution labels,
mm-hmm.
Part of the things they do too is they have a lot of playlists that your song gets played to, because mm-hmm. that's where it's at. Putting it on playlists, is beneficial for you mm-hmm. when you song. I'm talking about hundreds and thousands of playlists, mm-hmm. not just one or two or 20 or 30, mm-hmm. because you'll be able to see the movement. And Spotify, Apple Music, they're not against that because the bigger labels do it.
Mm-hmm.
They have all these playlists that they send to the curators, and they will be able to you'll be able to see the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do it independently, of course, because there's a bunch of playlist distributors, which I do it too. I have some music. I recorded some music, and I put it in there. I have 20,000 streams here, 10,000 streams there, but mm-hmm. it's all through that. Yeah. Not to the labels, to yeah. curators or playlists. They'll be able to put it in certain places and be able to move yeah. the numbers.
Yeah, that's and that too. Having some of those distribution companies putting you on playlists, that definitely helps artists. For me, I know that would definitely help me.
Yeah.
Because it's not just, like you said, it's not just like one or two different playlists. It's like multiple, like a whole, yeah. and this is where you want to be heard. Like this, like Spotify and, yeah. and I think other places as well.
Did you do any of that stuff when you were working in your song, when you were working your EP?
Yeah. Well, my DT Wale EP, I did have it online for a while. I went through, was it TuneCore?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one, you know, the ones that yep. are online. But from there, I was like, well, you know, I wanted to see, I was like, well, let me, I took it off. Cause I mean, of course the management at that time that I was with, we kind of parted ways and did our own thing. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, from there I was like, okay, well, you know, I need to get my, you know, my music back online. So I'm like, so should I, you know, go with back to TuneCore or CD Baby or whatever, or go with a, more of a distribution. And I was thinking, well, you know, let me see about going with more of a distribution. So right now we're in that transition right now. That's where Ravi Music is in that transition of mm-hmm. getting stuff with back online, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play. But just, I guess, deciding which distribution we want to go to, which one will be the best. Now that there's more that's starting to, you know, more, I guess, in the industry now, distribution. So
is there a particular label that you're having serious conversations yet, or are you still shopping around?
No, not right now. I mean, not right now, not at the moment. Just staying focused, recording, make sure you're having recording new records, new songs, and just trying to stay busy and consistent. And then, you know, hopefully, you know, me doing the work, that'll, you know, get attention of the labels, and then we can start having that discussion.
Nice. How was the input? How was the feedback for people, the music, the spectators, the fans, if you want to use that word? How was it as far as the music? What were they saying? What were you seeing online? And what would you have done better? I know that it was your first EP and mm-hmm. there was issues with the label, or not issues, but just y'all parted ways.
With the management, yes.
With the management.
Yeah, with the management, yes.
But with all that, what would you have done different for the first actual EP you launched? Mm-hmm. But what was the good things that you learned from it?
The good things I learned was knowing how to put an EP together, knowing how to record quicker, knowing how to. This EP also helped me as far as performance wise, as far as doing my shows, like live performances. It helped me to, like, okay, you know, because that was another step that we before me and the management parted with. I was doing shows, and I was like, you know, that I got to work on, you know, me being a solo artist now, I got to work on engaging with the, you know, with the fans and you know, singing and just knowing how to work the crowd. And so that's what this EP also started helping me with too, because nice. Of the songs that I have. So, you know, it kind of, what you can say is it helped me build my confidence. So the EP did help.
And what about the feedback as far as the sound, the words, a particular song that stood out more than all the other ones?
Yeah, I guess there were some people that, I like this song from this EP. I like that. I like that. And yeah, that did help, you know, that did motivate me more, like, you know, because the fans are important. And so when they would tell me that, I was like, that would definitely motivate me to want to continue to keep doing shows and to continue to keep recording new songs and new records. But yeah, the fans are important, always important. I always try to make sure I make time after shows to mm-hmm. to engage with them, you know, take pictures, do get social media, stuff like that. But yeah, I think just the, I guess you could say the input or the response from the fans is what kind of, it motivates me.
Okay.
And even now.
For the bookings, was it something that you were getting paid for the gigs, or were you just trying to put yourself out there to people recognize this material that you were putting out as far as whenever you got to perform and let them know to go check it out on whatever platform you had the song at that time?
Yeah, well, I mean, at the time, yeah, I mean, no, I wasn't really paying for shows. Sorry, I wasn't
getting paid for shows. Because yeah, there's people that will take your money to perform too.
No. I wasn't getting paid to do shows. Yes, I was. I did pay to do shows. Still paying to do shows. But it's now it's more like, you know, knowing which shows to take and knowing which ones like nah and stuff like that. But I mean, to me, I see it as building my brand, building my sound because right. Nobody's really, you know, like I said, I'm still building my brand. I there's people that have heard of me, but then again, there's people that haven't.
Right.
And so I'm just trying to build my brand as far as singing or just, you know, just having the fans engage more with me
yeah.
and stuff like that. And me getting engaging with the fans. So, I mean, right now, it's like I said, it's a grind. It's a hustle.
Yeah.
You know, you got to make it happen until you get to the point to where, you know, you start becoming a household name to where it's like, hey, well, I want to come pay to see you and stuff like that. And
yeah, and I'm not criticizing for if you pay or not get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you got your first project, you got it out there, you're getting good feedback, you got to be able to sing. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times people may not gravitate immediately to the song, you got to put it in their face.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing that, because I've done it before too, where depending on what show, I did a little bit of rapping and performing, but I never paid for shows.
Mm.
But the ones that I did, I know that I was going to be on rotation for a radio station all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew they were going to be on all the marketing,
mm-hmm.
all the posters. And I knew they were going to get a good time to perform and opening up for like Snow the Product or something like that.
Yeah.
So, and a booth
mm-hmm.
so I can have merch so I can move things. So all those things incorporated, maybe what, 1200 or something like that.
Yeah.
For an event that is one of the biggest one in town.
Mm.
It's not a bad deal.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
So people are funny. Some people would just take your money just to perform in front of 10 people.
And
that's not cool.
No.
But if it's worth it, like there's myths about Master P buying 20,000 copies of his own CD just so you can see that the units were moving and labels all of a sudden was like, oh, there's 20,000 units being moved.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden now we're going to talk to you. We want to talk to you because on paper it looks like you're moving so many units.
Mm-hmm.
If that's a myth, my bad. I made it up, but I hear stories like that of different artists doing different things to be able to like draw attention to the labels. Like, hey, there's movement over here. What's going on here? Let me see.
Yeah.
So I'm not against the idea of paying shows, but it's pretty cool that you are now being strategic as far as where you want to book or the shows that you want to be. Not just like you're so passionate about the project that you did and you want to see everybody. And no matter if there's two or three people, here you go, take my money and let me just put it. No, it's going to be more of like, this is the ones more selective.
Yes.
And this is one of, I get more people to see it. The likelihood of you getting more fans and people introduced to your music is way higher than just performing for a couple of people.
Yeah.
Which is not bad if it's the homie sometimes, you know, you got to papers that you want to do to them, that they book you, whatever, you know?
But
you got to understand it's an investment.
Definitely. I mean, and you know, my team and I have started looking at it as, you know, this is our brand. We have to build this brand. It's a business. So, there's shows that we'll pay for, and then there's other shows that be like, is it worth it? We talk about it. It's like, hey, is it worth doing? And if it is, then we do it. If not, then it's like, nah, that's fine. We'll pass, and we'll go, you know, there'll be other shows or, you know, stuff like that. Let's just stay focused on doing shows or stay focused on recording. So,
You have a merch that you get to be, like post a booth for yourself while you do some of the shows?
Some shows, yes, I do. And some I don't, but it's not because they won't let me. It's just sometimes, you know, I'll be like, oh, now I ran out and I have to re-up, but I haven't time to re-up yet. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to do the show and I'll, promote and, I mean, right now I don't have my merch online. I do have a website.
Legit website too. Go check it out.
I do have a website, but we're working on trying to get, merchandise, everything on the website. So, you know, I got to get with my my guy that does my websites for me and, you know, takes time and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And we got to set everything up, make sure everything works after it's set up and stuff like that. So, but it is coming. It is coming.
That's pretty cool. Hey, even a little flyer poster with your picture with a QR code to go to your music. Hey, that goes a long way. We're just passing it out. As long as you have a table that people can see it, like, hey, this is my stuff. Go check it out.
Yeah.
It goes a long way.
Yes, definitely.
That's pretty dope. Okay, so now that you finished this EP, you were mentioning earlier you were working on a new project.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the name for the project yet?
No, yet. Not yet. I don't have a name, just been recording. I know I was thinking about going back and forth, like kind of, I guess, merging, you know, my EP with some of the new records and kind of just making an album, but we're still going back and forth. So I'm like, the idea will hit me. Right now, I'm just, you know, really just focused on, you know, just recording new material. So once we knock out one record, okay, let's go to the next one. And you know, till we, you know, I'm gonna write a little bit more on this one and produce a little bit more on this one as well. But I also want to, you know, be like, okay, pick and choose. All right, this one's gonna be the single. This is gonna be the first thing we're gonna drop from this one, or stuff like that. We gotta shoot a video for this and make sure that everything's planned out strategic. Make sure we have the budget for it, stuff like that. So that all comes into play too, because, you know, being independent, you know, it's pretty much, you know, you have to come up, you know, with the money. It's not like you have investors or, you know, and eventually, you know, if the brand Ravi Music does get investors, then hey, that's definitely a plus. We would definitely, you know, we definitely would like to get investors. But in the meantime, we're, you know, like I said, we have to have a certain budget to where, hey, you know, do we go this way? Would it cost this much, or this one's a little bit cheaper? You know, like I said, but we most likely probably will go with the cheaper price. But what I also do is I also like to check the quality of work, because sometimes it could be cheaper, but the quality is good, or it's better than the you know, the other price where it's higher and they, you know, it's just like, it's good, but it's, you know, you're looking more for at this, like with doing, like with videos, stuff like that. So music videos. So that's why I like with music videos or like, videographers, I said, let me check out their work, and I'll check out, you know, if it's two of them, I'll check out both of them and see, you know, who, you know, where they're at as far as videography. And then if I like the way they shoot, how much are they? And then how much are they? And then, okay, well, let's see, let's, you know, right, what's in the budget. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
So all these things are, I'm guessing, is some of the things that you learned from your first project.
Yes.
You'll be able to incorporate on this one that you're able to do better than you did last time.
Yes. And just, I guess, make sure the music, keeping the music, I guess you could say relevant.
Yeah.
So that's on this project, kind of, that's what I'm thinking more about, still keeping the R&B, but keeping it, I guess, more relevant. So it'll be a mixture of, this project will probably be a mixture of it'll be R&B, but it'll probably be a mixture of pop, maybe some hip hop in there, maybe
reggaeton,
maybe even a little of that too.
Nice.
Yeah, even a little of that too as well. I was talking with my team about that, and I was like, I think, you know, do some, you know, like a reggaeton, like in English and Spanish, which will be, I think it'll be pretty cool. So
absolutely.
You could, you know, that could definitely be in the works. For this next project. So that's what I'm saying. It's just, that's why right now I'm just focused on recording, because there's different things I want to try.
Right.
And say, okay, now once we, you know, get it done and have it all together, to, okay, let's drop this, let's see how, you know, how this work, how these songs play, and see what the fans think about it.
How many songs, finished, completed songs do you think you already have in the vault, or they're just rough drafts waiting to be mixed and mastered?
I have two that already mixed and mastered. But I said two, mixed and mastered. I have, that's two. I got, well, actually, I'm sorry. I got three that's mixed and mastered.
Nice.
I got three of them already that's mixed and mastered. And then I think I have two or three more of just the songs that I completed vocally, but haven't been, but just as far as the whole together, but it's probably like two or three that still haven't been mixed and mastered yet. They have a like a rough mix,
right?
But they're not the mixed and mastered. But all the vocals, everything is there.
And so, it's going to be a leading single for the project before you go into full blast, going in with the EP. It's gonna be an EP, I'm guessing. I want to do
an EP. I know I've talked with my my team as well, and we kind of go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Should it be an EP? Should it be an album? I'm still kind of leaning more to EP, but we'll see. I mean, you know, because I think I would have to build my name more to the point to where people are more just wanting to hear more of a bigger playlist of songs for me, like, you know, album instead of, you know, EP. Because I mean, you know, I got to, you know, me still building my brand and still building my sound. You know, I don't know if that'll be the best move right now. That's one thing. So I don't know. I have to talk with my team and we'll see what we come up with.
Cool. And yeah. Do you have a particular time frame, like a general estimate of when it's going to be dropping? Is it going to be still at the end of this year, or could it be probably sometime during 2024? Realistically.
I'm hoping to drop at least one of the singles before the end of this year.
Nice.
If not, it'll definitely be next year for sure.
Awesome.
It'll definitely be next year for sure, and then hopefully the rest, you know, have other singles next year as well. But I'm at least have one of them dropping, hopefully, because the year's almost out, so
yeah,
you know, absolutely. Hopefully get one of the singles to drop before the year's out. If not, then it'll be definitely next year.
Well, you got three ready to go.
yeah, definitely.
So you definitely are. Take it serious, because you've been all over the place too. Not only here in Dallas, you're in Dallas today, but you've been to Tulsa, mm-hmm. you've been to Miami,
mm-hmm.
you've been to Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and of course you've been Houston performing some of the shows there.
Mm-hmm.
So how did those opportunities come to be as far as performing all over these places?
Just reaching out and pretty much just going to get it, man. Like, I was like, man, I want to do shows. And, you know, I love doing shows in my city, Houston, Texas, my hometown. I love doing shows, but I was like, you know, I got to get my brand outside of Houston, outside of Texas. And I was, you know, I talked with my team about that, and they were like, you know, let's do it. It's a good idea. Let's do it. So, you know, my team and I started just kind of reaching out to, mm-hmm. You know, different events or festivals that we heard of that were in different states. And, you know, they're either going to, you know, email you back or they're not. So it's like, hey,
shout out to the person that emailed me.
Yeah.
I got an email too.
Yeah, so
that's how we got in. And very professional, by the way.
Yeah,
very not like, hey, put me on right now. No, it's more like, hey, this is who I am, this is who he is, this is what he's done, this mm-hmm. is that, hey, were you interested?
Yeah,
like, oh yeah, what's up, let's do it. Very nice, very
yeah,
nice.
Yes, definitely. I definitely gotta give it up to my team, because yeah. I mean, my team this far in my career is really what helped me get to where I'm at. And still, I mean, we still got a long way to go, but I mean, it's, I can see the growth. I can see the progression. And it's happening. You know, it may be little by little, but I see the progression happening. So we just got to stay consistent, stay focused, and just keep our mind on the prize, and just, you know, stay focused. Like, what we've been doing has been working. So that's what we're just going to, be consistent doing that.
It's the right approach. Don't go to the DM, the man in the interview, por favor. Don't do it. Especially if you started doing it. You got a long way to go. I'm sorry. We want people to be doing it for some time. Nothing against your dreams, mm-hmm. but there's a way to ask correctly. As David and I talk about TDM, don't be in the DM talking about, just send me a link, checking my song out.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know, so many freaking people hacking your account.
Yeah.
I'm not about to click a link that I don't know.
Exactly.
Professionally send an email. Where it came from, all of a sudden, there's a website. Check it out. Like, hey, look at this. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So, get off the DMs.
Yeah. Shout out to my boy, David, with the Dem Dam Mexicans, man.
Mexicans. TDM represent, the
man.
Host.
TDM, David, out of Houston, Texas, man. But yeah, I got to represent, man.
Shout out to the homie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. You got yourself out there. How was the performing out of town, out of state? How was the feeling? How was the experience overall?
Oh, man, it was definitely fun. I mean, definitely good experience. I've seen the love and support that they give me. I was like, that I wasn't expecting.
Really?
I'm like, wow. So yeah, building my fan base out there too. So I'm pretty sure I got fans in like Miami, Tulsa, Oklahoma now, stuff like that. And I know in Miami, when I performed out there, I had one of the radio stations after play my two or three of my records. After when we were back in Houston, they have like an internet radio station they played out there. So I'm like, man, so I really do appreciate it, man. And so, it's just building a fan base, building relationships as well, to where, you know, you can, you know, come back and do those festivals and again the next year, or, you know, network and build relationships with other artists to do collaborations. And I'm always down or always down for collaborations with any artist.
Do you have a lot
artist.
Of collaborations right now?
Not a lot, but I mean, I'm willing to, you know, work with anybody. It doesn't matter genre like that. I'm just, you know, I'm really just willing to work. I do have a couple. I do have a collabo that I did that we're actually promoting the record, and we also have a video for it.
Nice.
It's called Crown of Champagne, by my boy Overflow, featuring myself. That video is on my YouTube page. So, you can definitely check it out. Definitely check it out on.
Make sure she good.
Yeah.
We passing out now. Don't drop. We keeping the real here. We ain't gonna play this stuff. We had the lady. Some food, but we good.
She
keep an eye on her.
Yeah. She's good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So y'all have the video. Yeah. How do y'all get together?
Actually, I met my boy Overflow through my wife. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, of course she's definitely part of my team, and we were actually getting shirts made, and we were gonna go pick them up, and he was there at the same place getting shirts done, I guess, for his brand, and that's when we started talking. He's like, "Oh yeah, man, I rap too and stuff like that." I was like, "Okay," and we just started networking. And I got his social media, he got mine, and he saw I sing and stuff like that. And then I told him, I said, "Yeah, man, let's do a record together, stuff like that." So it didn't happen right away, but eventually, because he produces too,
mm-hmm.
and so he wanted to get the right track. It wasn't just just jump on any track with me.
Right.
He
right.
wanted to get the right track, and so. When he found that right track, he called me and said, "Rob, I got it. I got the song I want you on." And I was like, "Let's do it." And so we started recording it and recorded at his studio. Got it done and got it. He took it to Bruce Bang to get it mixed. Nice. Shout out to Bruce Bang.
Yeah, he's the same individual for
it. Yeah. And Bruce did his thing on it and mixed it, brought it to life. And then after that, we shot a video and it became the record it is now, Crown of Champagne.
Nice.
Crown or champagne. You know, crown or champagne.
Crown or champagne. Champagne.
Yeah. So it's
you're gonna get ratchet or classic.
Yeah. It has more of an older school like R&B type feel, but it's more of a feel good record. It's like the nice. You know, just get up and party and dance if you want to, you know, dance, or if you want to just lay back and drink. It's just more just, you know, just has a old, more of a, I guess you could say, a little bit older school feel, but it's a feel good record. It feels good and, you know, makes you want to dance if you want to dance.
Yeah. So tell me your most memorable event to date for you. What was the one that you really stood out, that you really enjoyed doing it, performing at that place, wherever the venue was at, whether it was a lot of people, whether it was just for whatever reason, it felt special to you.
That was a lot of them. Mm-hmm. There's a few shows. I know one that sticks out in my head was, earlier this year when we performed, I performed at the Heatwave Car Show,
mm-hmm.
in South Padre Island. They had me perform Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And
2 days.
Yeah, 2 days at the car show. And it was just, I guess it's just the atmosphere, the way the people or the fans, they just, I guess they were rocking with me on as far as with my music and stuff. And I was like, wasn't expecting it, but I mean, I was, I've seen it. I'm like, wow, you know, and so it just kind of gave me more energy to want to continue to, you know, go on with my show. And I was like, well, I told my team afterwards, I was like, yo, that's, I really enjoyed, you know, performing here, and hopefully next year we can get back out there and perform again for them. It was at the Heatwave Car Show in South Padre Island. It was more for like spring break.
Yeah.
So it was earlier this year, but.
Was it by the beach, by the water?
Yes.
I think it was from different people.
Yeah, it was, South Padre Island Convention Center, I think, something like that. It's by the water.
Nice.
So yeah, but I performed inside. It was because nice. they had it outside, and they also had, you know, like an event center inside. And so that was definitely one of my favorites. I loved it. Loved the responses that we got. You know, just, and shout out to all the fans out there, man.
Mm-hmm.
We made, you know, made new fans out there. They're now follow Rob V and stuff like that. So, yeah. So, I mean, and then I guess you could say, I know Atlanta was fun. So I know there was there was a rep from Atlantic Records that was there.
Oh, wow.
In Atlanta. So, yeah, so kind of, you know, the promoter of that got me out there to perform. She told me, she was like, hey, the rep from Atlantic Records wants to speak to you. I'm like, oh, well, okay. And so I, you know, spoke with her and, you know, briefly. So it was good to at least get the attention and be like, hey, you know. And so that right there was just motivation. Hey, man, I already got motivation, but I was like, yo, okay, yo, if I can get that attention, I got to keep pushing harder to where I get more labels or even get them, get to where we can actually meet up and you know, maybe and possibly discussing a deal.
What did what he tell you that time? Just wanted to meet who you were?
I met with her and she was briefly, because I know there was a lot of different artists as well performing. Yeah, she was just telling me she really enjoyed and she loved my performance that I did in Atlanta. She really, you know, really wanted, she told me that she really wanted to see or was excited for like the my future as far as doing music, as far as, you know, me doing R&B. She said, I'm excited. I really, really enjoyed your show. You know, my performance. So I was like, man, that, I mean, cause like I said, I criticize myself too on my shows. I mean, you can ask my team. I'm like, oh, man, I don't like that. I didn't sound right here. And oh, I shouldn't have said this, or I talked too much on this part, or I sang too much. You know, I criticize myself. So, I mean, just some, you know, having somebody from, you know, a major label telling me, hey, I really enjoyed your performance. That makes me want to go a million times harder. So,
absolutely. Yeah. So being a Mexican American, R&B, Latinos, Mexican Americans, you really can really count them in one hand because there's not a lot of them. What is the positive feedback that you would receive, and also the negative feedback?
Positive feedback would be just the response after I do my shows, mm-hmm. of the fans that are like, hey, you know, hey, we really enjoyed your show. You know, they want to network and we exchange social medias, or they even want to do collaborations with me. So I'm I'm like, that's, you know, let's work. You know, like I said, I'm willing to work with anybody. It doesn't matter the genre. Just, I guess, the response I'm getting, the positive responses I'm getting from that. And then also too, just, the inspiration, because I feel like I'm inspiring other artists as well. Nice. So like just other inspiration, being an inspiration to the other artists as well. So that's the positivity I feel like I'm getting, or that I'm seeing as far as the, you know, doing music in the music industry,
which is R&B.
Yeah, that's R&B.
What mostly you do.
Yeah.
What about the not so pleasant comments that you receive? The most criticism that you receive.
Yeah.
From people and from what kind of people?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like they always say, if you don't have haters, you're not doing something right. So, you know, that just comes with the territory. That comes with you doing what you love to do. So, I've definitely had negative responses, or I guess you could say not necessarily verbal negative, but you could just kind of tell by how their actions towards you, like to where how they kind of, you know, like they don't necessarily say it, but they just don't include you.
Mm,
and okay. And that's what I've noticed. And I was like, you know, but I've dealt with that a lot, you know, like that not being included, you know, you know, I'm in the same genre, or, you know, I'm representing, you know, my people, whatever. And it's just kind of, sometimes I've kind of just gotten that cold shoulder. I'm like, that's,
well, because predominantly, yeah. R&B is, you know, Mexican American. I'm sorry, African American.
Yes,
it's not really a Latino thing.
Frankie J.
Yeah. The only one that kind of stands to mind, maybe. Sure. Yeah. There's a few others, but hardly ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of Frankie J, that's who I always get compared to.
Yeah.
Like, I always get compared to, you know, Frankie J. That's, you know, that's what a lot of people, once I get off stage, is like, man, you remind me of Frankie J. And, you know, I'm like, and that's, to me, that's a compliment. Yeah. That's a to be compared to him. I mean, to me, as a solo artist, being Mexican American, doing R&B, I feel like, you know, I feel like him as a solo artist, he opened the doors. That's what I feel like, because he, of course, he took the chance coming from the Cumbia Kings, mm-hmm. doing cumbias, and then you cross over and do, you know, coming in R&B in the English market, to where it wasn't known to see a Mexican or Mexican American singing R&B in this. And to me, I feel like he opened the doors for artists like myself.
Yeah.
And that's why I always, you know, yeah, he's one of my favorite. You know, I have him as one of my top. He's one of my favorites vocally.
Yeah.
I think he's a beast vocally. He can sing, and then just him taking that chance and opening the doors for, you know, like Chicano, Mexican American or Latino artists like that want to do urban music, that want to, you know, say, hey, you know, I know I'm Mexican or I know I'm Latino, or but I love R&B or I love hip hop or I love rap and stuff like that, and opening the doors, you know, that's a big deal. So, you know,
speaking of your top people, mm-hmm. what will be some top five collaborations, whether it be rap, whether it be R&B, that you would like to do? Can you give me your top five? Do you have five?
R&B, top five, for of course, Frankie J. Mm-hmm. Usher, definitely would love to work with Usher. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot I definitely would like to work with. I mean, a lot of the...
What about hip-hop, rap? Which ones would you be?
There's definitely a few in hip-hop as well. I know, like, I would say, like, Bumby, you know, from Music. I would like to, you know, definitely do, or that's one of my top five. I would definitely like to do a song with Bun B. That'd be classic.
Legend. Legend.
Yeah. I'll say, I guess 50 Cent. Man, it's definitely a lot of them. Yeah, that would definitely.
We'll
be
leave
a lot
it at them four.
Yeah,
we'll got the last one pending.
Yeah,
we are running short on time. Again, I appreciate you very much your time, sharing your story, telling us about the music, how you got into the music, and good luck with your project you got coming up. Before I let you go,
mm-hmm.
let me know all your social media. Where can they reach you at? Where can people find you?
Yes, yeah, social media. Y'all can follow me. Find me on all social media at Rob V Music. That's R-O-B-V Music, and you can also check me out on my website, www.ravimusic.com.
Awesome. And I know you have a project, you're still working on it. You don't mm-hmm. have a particular date yet that you have a release, but there's an EP that is going to be coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any particular shows here probably in a month or so mm-hmm. that you have coming up?
Yes, actually, I have a show tonight. as soon as we leave here.
Oh, really? You have one in Dallas?
Yeah, I have one. Yeah, and actually, this will be actually my first performance in Dallas. Oh, I've never performed in Dallas, and I'm excited. I think it was at Abbey Lounge. I think it's called Abbey Lounge, but it's a hookah lounge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm saying it right. If I'm saying it wrong, I'm sorry. But Abbey Lounge is a hookah lounge.
Found the flyer, checked it out yourself.
Yeah, it's a hookah lounge. But I definitely want to give a shout out to Soarin' High Entertainment. Soarin' High Entertainment for getting me on the show. So yeah, that's one of our promoters, our go-to promoters. That we get a lot of shows through. As
there a
well.
Particular headliner, or is it something you're doing?
I'm not headlining. But I think I'm performing as well. I know I'm pretty sure there's other artists as well that are performing. Might be more Dallas-based artists, so I'm not for sure who's all performing, but. You know, shout out to the other artists that are performing as well. So
you never know where a collab can be done from people from here.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then, And then I know in November, the first weekend in November, I'll be performing at Loudfest. I don't know if you ever heard of Loudfest,
yes,
but it's
Loudfest,
Loud Music. They're putting on that Loudfest, and I will be one of the artists performing at Loud Fest, which will be November 4th and November 5th.
Where? Houston?
In Houston, Texas, yes.
Nice. You got that one coming.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's
a big deal.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Any shout-outs that you have? Any shout-out that you have before I let you go?
I want to shout-out to my team, my RVM team, man. Everybody that's on the team, man. Wouldn't be here without y'all. You know, we're just stay focused. We're gonna stay grinding and keep growing. Awesome. So I want to give a shout out to them. Of course, want to thank God just for for waking up this morning as well, and just another day to pursue what I love to do.
And for giving you a gift of the voice, because yes. I mean, I definitely can talk, but yes. I can't carry it. I've been thinking about taking some classes just to know a little bit, but I'm just not a singer.
Hey, I got you.
I got you. Voice of a singer. I mean, I have like a sound like I could sing, yeah. But I can't sing.
Yeah.
I don't know how to project, where it comes out. Yeah. I know I have singers here that I use your whole body. I'm like, how?
How? Yeah, I know.
Right? You just use your voice.
Yeah.
You're talking about your whole body. I'm like, I need to work on that.
Yeah, I need to work on it. Figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely thank God. I have to always thank my maker. Definitely want to thank the fans, everybody who's been rocking with Ravi and Ravi Music and my team. Appreciate y'all so much. Appreciate y'all for believing. And like I said, we're going to keep growing together, and I'm going to keep giving y'all good music, good R&B music, just good music, period. And y'all will definitely be expecting new material, and definitely will be, I forgot to mention, definitely you will on this next project, you definitely will hear some Spanish English, English Spanish, Spanglish stuff. So yeah, I gotta incorporate that as well. So
absolutely.
So y'all definitely, I got some for the fans as well. So y'all that's definitely gonna cool. Like that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What is an important lesson that you learn in the business music, in the business music business,
mm-hmm.
that you would tell your younger self that will help somebody else out?
I'll tell my younger self to stay focused, be consistent, and one of the main things is believe in yourself 100%. Don't doubt yourself, don't doubt your abilities. You were blessed, or so you use what God blessed you with, and stay focused. Study your craft. Make sure, that's what I'll definitely tell my young. Make sure you study your craft. Make sure you you're not gonna know everything, but as long as you study your craft and you make sure you perfect the voice and you perfect just your knowledge of the industry as well, not just having the talent, but also having the knowledge to know how to strategize and where to take your career and stuff like that, and building your team and knowing who to have on your team, stuff like that. So
awesome, that's awesome. Yeah, if you're gonna bet on anybody, might as well bet on yourself. Put the money in.
Exactly.
If you believe it, you'll put it forth, knowing that you have a vision of the things that you want to and where to want to go to. Because some people might not believe it or see it yet.
Yes.
But if you see it and bet on yourself, you'll get there eventually.
Yes, definitely.
Another question. This was a little deeper.
Yes.
Usually when I wake up, and if not throughout the day, I remind myself I'm not immortal. I am mortal, and I will die one day. That's not to scare me or to make me think that I'm going to go. I heard it from a gentleman and I really liked it. And that just really makes me remember that I'm not here forever. I need to do stuff immediately, because whether we want it or not, it's just a part of life. We're not here forever. With that, I wish you a long, prosperous life. However, after everything's said and done, what do you want people to think or feel about your life?
Well, I want people to think is that, He gave it his all. Like, I want people to say, that he gave it his all, that he followed his dreams. And not letting anyone or anything keep him from following his dreams, and just being happy, hopefully too, my music inspires the next generation to where they, after I'm gone, my music inspires, other artists to want to create good music, beautiful music, you know, inspiring music, stuff like to you know, help people, whether it makes them feel happy, sad, or cry, whatever. But to just inspire other people as well.
So. Awesome. That's amazing. I truly, any artist that comes or any individual, it don't have to be artists. We're not just an artist podcast. We're entrepreneurs. We're artists, singers, songwriters, whatever, clothing line businesses, any kind of Latino, Mexican-American that has a path, whether it be veterinarian, whatever the case might be, any path of life, Latino, I want on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the people that reach out to me, especially from far away, Houston. Mm-hmm. It's not a short drive. But at the end of the day, it says a lot about you as far as wanting to do what you are doing with that. Because otherwise, you would just see it on social media and never take it anywhere.
Exactly.
Just be there. And again, I didn't know your story. They sent me some information. I looked into it. I'm like, that's pretty cool. With you being it and continues to do it. Not to mention, again, being a Mexican-American that in a genre that you don't see a lot of us in it, it'll be pretty cool that you are doing it. It's pretty cool that you are doing it. Not to mention, who knows how many people are going to be able to tune in. Little kids, younger kids will be able to see that, hey, like we mentioned earlier, you don't necessarily just have to be the dishwasher.
Exactly.
The people that cut yards, landscaper, whatever. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
But again, you can still
there's
go
other
for
options.
More.
Yeah, there's more.
Definitely other options.
Yes.
And I appreciate the fact that you're doing it because, again, I don't know too many of people that are doing R&B. And if you continue to do it, I hope you grow bigger and better. And with all that, I appreciate the time, appreciate the seriousness. And without a doubt, Rob V, you are a global Latin factor. Thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it,
sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
This was another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. Remember, we are just like you. Remember to subscribe. Remember to subscribe. And remember, we are just like you. We are the spice in this melting pot that it is the world. Till next time.
Thank you very much for checking out this episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. Make sure you go and subscribe to the channel. Check out the content and the episodes that we have ready for you. Thank you very much. Till next time. Pero Batinfect is a flamingo. Coming to Havana and reason Puerto Rico.